Unconventional Life, the show where twice a week I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Each of these individuals are at the top of their game in terms of revenue and reach in their respective industry, living life in the driver's seat beyond what is traditional or predictable. On this show, you will learn how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck.
It means living a life of passion and purpose.
And what would it look like if you create it from the ground up?
Everything that's shown up in my business has been a place for me to grow or expand as a human being.
I pretty much get paid to be me.
Very frequently, the exact things you think are against you might be the things that are actually the reason you can make it.
I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, to another episode. We have an amazing guest, Brian Switchcode, joining us. Brian, are you ready to take us down a path less traveled this afternoon?
I am most certainly. We are pathing it up.
Awesome. Well, Brian, great to have you on the show. So Brian is a Reddit-obsessed social engineer, oddly infamous for pranking his roommate with Facebook ads, and he teaches growth hacking. So we'll get into that in a minute, but Brian and I met at Awesomeness Fest a few years ago, in which he proceeded to tell me that he ran this elaborate campaign to target only his roommate on Facebook for 2 weeks, and he put the story up, you can tell the story in a few minutes, put the story up online, got like millions of views, turned into this whole consulting practice, but most famous for that, and he's essentially a ninja at making anything go viral. So I know that's a huge part of what a lot of our listeners are into, so which is why I wanted to have you on the show. So Brian, welcome to the show. Take us anywhere I left off and share a little bit about your personal life.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited, and as we were discussing before the call, I'm so excited that I am in a sound box, which is why I look like a head floating in the air. Actually, I've never done video interviews at my place. But anywho, this is what I look like when I'm doing my podcast. So that happened 18 months ago. It actually happened 6 months before I wrote the story. And I had a marketing agency. Clients were kind of annoying me. Got to the point where I fired them and just said, like, you know, I can do what you do better than you do. I'm going to start my own personal brand and probably sell things. And so I kind of took my own advice and created a USP and created a brand. And my USP, the thing that I really like doing, is I like stories. Everything that I've ever effectively learned has been through something that was very experiential to me. And as a result, I really like those, like sharing those stories. And when I came up with that idea, the first one that jumped to mind was pranking my roommate, which I had done for fun. I mean, which sounds terrible, actually. I had done it. Yeah, it does. It just, it, I did it for fun. I was kind of pushing the limits of Facebook ads. We saw the opportunity. I was like, what happens if you just target one person? And then immediately jumped to retaliate for a prank that he had done to me. And then when I ended up writing the story, it went crazy viral. And I kind of just got sucked into this obsession with using one ridiculous and absurd thing, but well executed, to kind of highlight what your skills were. I kept getting offers of like, help me with this, help me with that. I'm like, it has nothing to do with this or that, but they saw this thing executed and they go like, I need to talk to you. So, what I've been teaching essentially is how to creatively express your talents without selling yourself, and attract all the right customers in the process.
Yeah, I love it. And where, you know, for those, I think it's the Social Sherpa. Is that the blog where those listening can find out about the story? Fascinating read for those of you listening. You should definitely check it out.
It is evolving. This month, it is being formally rebranded into Ghost Influence. So it'll be all one, but it'll redirect, you know, the magic 301.
Awesome. So Social Sherpa, or soon to be Ghost Influence. And I know that's a lot of, you know, what you're doing today is you've taken something, you know, purely out of fun and passion of like, I want to retaliate my roommate. So I'm going to go Facebook target him, you know, one person, one ad, and then write a story on it. And it's really built this whole snowball effect. And, you know, you are, in my opinion, you know, the top of your game in what you're doing with sharing stories through viral content. And you've built this whole community specifically on Reddit, which, I mean, you know, a lot of people, they want to know about Facebook and Twitter and all these things. And you're like, screw all that. Let's get to like the heart of being a human being and tell stories on Reddit. And you've built this thriving community called Ghost Influence. And so, you know, that's, you know, I imagine one of your major revenue models. But tell us a little bit about that journey from something purely out of passion, like pranking your roommate, into what you've built today while staying true to yourself in the process.
Good question. I mean, the majority of how it happened was an accident. You know, individually, I knew what I was doing and I was very focused on it. But what the blog launch and publishing that article did, you know, 18 months down the road, I could have never predicted. And that's kind of why I do what I do today, is that the more I talk to people, the more I find these stories where, you know, I got drunk, wrote an article. Actually, great example. I got a guy that I interviewed, got drunk, came up with the idea to Photoshop all his Tinder photos to say match of the day, matched with 4,000 women, wrote an article on Medium, and it went viral. And as he said in our interview, it became the fulcrum to his career. And it was very similar in terms of structure. So the focus was really, when I got started with the blog, I said, I'm going to go for 30 days. I'm just going to create content. I'm not going to focus on a product or what I'm going to sell. I'm not going to, 30 days, it's like a pitch diet. And I just said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to create content and talk to people. Because I wanted to build my audience as fast as possible. And I knew that that would work. And so I did that. And lo and behold, as I called it, my biggest bullet in the gun, my best story that I wrote, was the first one I posted. I submitted it to Reddit and had, I think, 450,000 people hit the site in 3 days. But that became massive leverage. And that was the thing that really hit me. And that's what I really focused on, was showing people how to take who they are and stop trying to focus on, you know, a blog a day with bullet points. And, you know, you have to show your value and blah, 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 versus get drunk, come up with an idea, execute it unnecessarily well, not execute it well, unnecessarily well. Beardswipe.me is a really great example. They made a parody of the Touch ID for iPhone, but it was beard swipe. So you swipe it on your beard and your custom beard record. But they made this beautiful site and a promotional video, and they actually launched the app. Didn't work, but they actually launched it. And that kind of thing, it's so easy to get traffic there. And most people are going to be like, oh, it's really funny. I have to share this with my bearded friend. But the people who actually need your help are going to say, this is amazing. I need something like this. Who did this? I should talk to those people. And it's just this organic attraction. And it's so much more powerful and easier, honestly. And that's why I love Reddit, is that, you know, you can't fake it. You have to speak that voice authentically. And if you do, you know, the world becomes your kind of marketing machine. They start talking about you and raving about you and saying, you know, you have to talk to this person. You have to check out this brand. It's so cool. Let me share their promo video because it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you really take the time to actually be yourself or your brand on the internet versus trying to do the typical, you know, marketing.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, one of the things you said, you know, executing unnecessarily well. And I know, you know, in your community, Ghost Influence, you teach, you know, hundreds of people, might even be more than that, thousands of people, how to take these things like executing unnecessarily well and breaking it down step by step. And so for our listeners that are here, what does that mean? You know, executing unnecessarily well. What do our listeners, you know, give us a little Snapchat into that world.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally just looking at every piece. So a project that I did recently was legitimately a drunken idea. And it kind of emanated from a conversation with a few internet marketers. And I posed a question to them, which I had been just kind of back of my mind. I said, what's the most ridiculous domain that you could buy to facilitate the most ridiculous email address to give out in a bar? Because I'd always just kind of been annoyed by, like, no one can hear what I'm saying, and any email address I ever gave out, people are like, is that a queue, or like, I don't understand. And I hate carrying cards. I never carry business cards, so that's how I give out my info. And we threw it around for a minute, and probably like 2 minutes in, one of the guys we were talking to was like, oh, I got it. My name is Paul. Yeah, you want my email? Okay, Paul, P-A-U-L, Paul at yourplacetonight.com. And we're all laughing hysterically, and I'm like, can't breathe, but I've moved enough to buy the domain. It was available. And then I'm just like, Oprah, I'm like, you're going to get an email. And it was like hilarious, but I immediately was like, I'm lazy inherently. And I know all of my friends are going to want this. So I'm sure I can build a one page app that allows anyone to register an email forward. And I'm not a developer, but I hired a developer and spent about $1,200, building out the app. It took them, I think, like a weekend to build the app. But then I was very focused on user interface design. I wanted the story that I just told you to be explained without me through the user experience of the site, through one page. And so we did that with basically the intro sentence of, you know, hi, my name is, and there's a blank. And then as you start to type, it goes, and it's spelled, and it starts to spell it out. And then it says at yourplacetonight.com. And then there's a button that says make it yours. So it really told the story through the user. So that was the first step. The second step was making it work, which was actually the easy part. But the third step was making sure it continued to work when it got bombed with traffic. So that took about 4 months because at the time I really had never done it before. But we ended up building a server that can handle, was it 15, I think it's 15 or 20 concurrent requests per second. So essentially it could handle a tweet from Taylor Swift and still stay live. And that's important because at the bottom of it, what I ended up doing is I put a little byline that said Reddit hug of death, which is kind of like when Reddit bombs a site so much with traffic that it crashes. Reddit hug of death prevented by InMotion, which was my web host. And it was an affiliate link. So it was a very above board but cheeky kind of affiliate play. But everything was flushed out. The title of the post had been revised 20 times through friends of like, which one do you think is better? The user experience I had passed off to relatives, to people who knew internet marketing and understood what an email forward was. I tested it. I shared it with people in person and I didn't tell them the story. I said, what do you think of this? Does this make sense? We tested the server. I probably had them load tested at least 4 times. Actually, last minute, I had to switch affiliate partners because of an agreement that kind of just dissolved. And so it was just every little piece was structured. And when it was posted was planned, where it was posted was planned, how I engaged in the comments was planned. Everything was looked at and expected. And what ended up happening was 11,000 page views and 600 email signups in the first 30 minutes.
Wow.
And people were like, Reddit hug of death, pre-prevention, my aren't we cocky? But rightfully so, this is freaking awesome. So, you know, it's just every little piece from social accounts to press to if you're doing a prank and you're making a fake company, list it on Crunchbase. Get some advisors to, you know, to fake that, you know, oh, yeah, I invested in this company and to publicly claim that so that you get credibility. Look at every little thing that could level it up and figure out how you can do it. And just if there are 10 things that you can do really well, don't do 15. Do that 10. Only do the things that you can do well. So if you want to create a Facebook page for this project that you're doing, but you know that you're not going to have enough content to post, just don't do it. Just don't create it. Focus on the things that you can dominate.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, unconventional life, you know, community that's listening, often you get told like you have to have a million things. You've got to have all of your social media accounts and all of, you know, tackle Reddit and blog posts and this and that. And what ends up happening often is that things get watered down and stuff gets 60, 70% complete, if you're even lucky, and then it doesn't have the impact. And then you wonder, well, why didn't it work? And often it is because from not taking the action all the way through. And so that's one of the things that I love about you is that you're willing to go the extra mile. So that bit there, total gold. And also you're willing to stay true to yourself in the process. And so, you know, I know a lot of our listeners, you know, they wonder like, at which point will they find the thing they're supposed to do with their life? And then all of a sudden, you know, everything is going to open up and world's going to be great. And it doesn't happen. And I find that when you stay true to yourself and you keep taking action, even if it's imperfect action, that feels good and that is fun, things start to open up. And so I would be curious what your take is on that and if that resonates with you, you know, in your own unconventional journey.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first part of it is kind of commitment commitment to the I would say commitment to the joke. So one of my first forays into viral, I had a dachshund, and literally the process was, you're adorable. I'm going to take a lot of videos. I'll probably take too many videos to fit on my computer. I should put them somewhere. YouTube has free storage. I'll put them there. And then I kind of like paused. I was like, well, I don't want to be like everybody else. So what can I do to be different? And it was just purely intellectual, kind of like, that'd be fun to play with. And I ended up, I was like, I think I probably thought about it for a day and it just popped in my head. And this is back in 2009 before there were any channels like this. I was like, oh, I should just make the channel for my dog. And it's his channel and he talks. So I think I started that in 2009, maybe a little bit before. To date, so that's what, 5 years, I have never once broken character. So I'm like, I mean, I go and I used to do it much more often, but would go and comment on other people's videos and be like, oh my God, your dog's so cute. I want to sniff its butt. And people are like, what the, and then they'd see that it was the dog. Oh, that makes sense now. And so like people would private message me and ask me like, what food do you feed your dog? And I'd be like, and there was one time where it was just too difficult to talk in dog language because it does take some creative writing. And I said, you know, hey, Apple here, not sure what my daddy does, but he did something. So I'm going to pass the keyboard off to him so he can answer your question. I go, hey, Apple's dad here. And like legitimately stayed in character the entire time. You have to be committed to it and just really, I think a lot of people tell a joke and then people laugh at it and then they just say thank you for laughing and it kind of ends there. It's stand-up comedy. The principle is yes and. You always want to carry what the base reality is that someone gives you. So if someone, you know, responds with a joke, especially if someone challenges you, you know, someone at one point there was, I got featured in Adweek and then that got picked up by Reddit and people were basically just very pissed off that I was teaching marketing on Reddit. And what I was doing is explaining like, well, what I'm actually doing, what's actually marketing is like understand the community and contribute to it. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, like they started to understand that like, all right, we like this. but one of the questions that someone asked me, because I said AMA, ask me anything. And AMAs are like Q&As without a format. So it gets cray cray. And someone asked me, what's it like to be a cuckold? And to be fair, I had to Google this because I had to make sure. But a cuckold is the husband of an adulteress. And I responded like some of the best jokes are tied to personal experience and raised the question of how much personal experience. And I just responded, I said, no clue. Been one all my life. I have nothing to compare against. And like it was a joke. It was just an irreverent joke that people were like, oh, OK, this guy is like us. And it was because that was me. I'm very, irreverent, self-deprecating all the time. It wasn't difficult for me to come up with that because it was me. And that's just through a very long kind of, I guess, investigatory process of who the hell I am.
Yeah, totally. And I think that, you know, at least I know on my own journey, you never really figure it out, but you can keep doing things and checking in with yourself of like, yeah, this actually kind of fits, or like, actually, no, not so much over there. And so, yeah, I love that. I know that a lot of what you do is you get all these companies and people that reach out to you constantly. And I know I was doing a crowdfunding campaign launch back last year and I was like, Brian, help me. Like, how do I figure this out? And you get reached out to all the time, so much so that you've built this community ghost influence to help, you know, direct some of these inquiries. But what do you think, you know, for those listening that, you know, like this idea, hear about viral content is just accidental. In your world, you tend to like nail the target maybe like 7 out of 10 times. I don't know if that is accurate or not, but way more than probably anyone else that I know. And so what goes into nailing the target, say 7 out of 10 times? And do you ever like have fear that it's not going to work?
I like to joke that my batting average is 1,000, at least recently. And the reason for that is much less magnificent than it sounds. And it is a joke, because I pass on projects. If something doesn't fit me, if I'm not excited about it, or if I don't think that there's possibility, I pass. And it's not that viral traffic is the effective expression of something that's already interesting. I've had people come to me with casino businesses, with like health supplements, with review sites. And I'm like, okay, like this just isn't for you. Like it's just not really going to do well. Is there a story here? Why'd you start the business? What are you doing? And I, you know, kind of try and feel it out a little bit. But a lot of times it's like, you really need to talk to a Facebook, you know, ads person. Let me refer you. So I pass a ton of referrals. And it's really just having the ability to turn down things that aren't the right fit. For me, as a project or for the network that we're going to be pushing on. And really just, I mean, it's about fit. And kind of just assessing what something is and where it should live, not trying to force it into a box, not trying to say, well, I provide these services and you're coming to me and I want you as a client, so I'm going to try and cram you into my box. A lot of times it's better to pass them off to a colleague and say, you need to talk to this person because this is a better fit for you right now, so that you have more time to work with the people that are better fit for what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's the biggest piece of it. With Reddit in particular, I mean, I look for clients who have stories, clients who have very unique products or offerings, something that I can play with and make something of. But at the same time, I look for clients who understand the creative process and understand that, I mean, even my own developers, when I was building yourplacetonight.com, I had, on a regular basis, I had to be like, look, they're like, oh, let's just launch the server and see how it goes and we can build it out from there. I'm like, you don't understand. It has to be perfect now. And so having a client that doesn't understand that, you end up bashing your head against the wall of like, look, you don't get this and you're not going to get it until it's too late. You just have to trust me. So viral is not right for everybody. But when you look at it, and especially that's kind of why I started the podcast, I kept finding these people who had these amazing stories about how, you know, they got submitted to Reddit or they submitted something to Reddit. And 2 years later, they look back and say, you know, nothing in my business would have been possible as it is today without that. And then just kind of dissecting that and seeing how it came about, how it can be repeated. It's really just talking to as many people as possible and finding the common elements.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you're pointing at with the piece around finding the fit and being willing to pass is huge, because often you can get in this scarcity mindset, especially when you're first starting out, of needing work and needing clients. And then what happens, you know, in my world is you get overwhelmed, and then you end up kind of like slicing out pieces of your unique gift or your talent. And then you sit back and you're like, man, why didn't I hit the mark? And it's because of that exact principle. It's like,
well, and the funny thing is, and I feel like you'll get a kick out of this, is, and I was talking to someone about it earlier today, is that the pickup artist world play the same rules play in business. Very, very, I mean, almost a direct parallel. And the more that, and I'll use the woman for an example, the more that the hot woman at the bar passes on guys, a guy comes up to her and says no, and she's, no, I'm not giving you my number, like, no, I'm not interested, the more desirable she becomes. And the more that I pass on projects, the more projects come to me. It's amazing. And every time I pass, if Bob comes to me through my email list and says, hey, I've been reading your stuff, and I have a project, I'd love to see if it's a fit for you. You know, a lot of times people don't know what they're asking me. They just say, I have a thing, can you help? And a lot of times me helping is me referring them to someone who is a better fit. And so when that happens, the person who asked for help and the person who I introduced them to are both happy with me. And they're both like, thank you for playing matchmaker. This guy has the right budget. You know, he has the right need for my services. Like, it's matchmaking. And when I do that, two people are happy with me, and law of reciprocity, they're finding some way to be able to talk about me. I'm on their mind. I sent them a client. Sometimes they pay me a commission, which is nice. But, you know, other times, you know, I just, 2 weeks later, I get an introduction to some amazing client for me. And it was because I, you know, was on their mind because I drove someone to them. So, I mean, the scarcity mindset is honestly the first thing to eliminate, and really just pass on your first thing. Say no and see what happens. Look back 2 weeks later and say, like, what happened because I said no to that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so kind of transition a little bit. I know with the community that you're launching with Ghost Influence, you've got this crazy email list that I'm on, and you email every day. I'm constantly signing in, and it's Brian in my inbox. And the emails are ridiculously hysterical. And I actually find myself reading a lot of them to send to my copywriter friends. I'm like, you need to get on this guy's list. Literally the other day, I said that to a friend of mine that was starting out, and I was like, subscribe to his list. I might have even like entered his email onto your website so that I would subscribe. But it's like your own style is that it is every day. The types of subject lines, like you were going on about like using emails like dating or like courting, or I forget exactly what you said, but it's brilliant in the way that it's so like unapologetically you in what you're doing, and you're clear on like, this is what I want, this is what I want to create, and you even give the people opportunity to leave, and you say, hey, if you don't want to like be a part of this, then leave, and it's actually better if you do, because then you're getting closer to the community and the core group of people that you actually want around you, that are going to want your products and services, and that are going to be rooting for you like all the way through whatever you create. And so I wanted to tag that as an important piece of like unapologetically being yourself. And I think that's what really works for you and for, you know, all of our listeners here. I mean, hands down, the most important thing that you can do. And at the same time, it can be difficult and scary to kind of say, yeah, I'm going to completely put myself out there and give you the opportunity to leave. It's a level of vulnerability that I know for a lot of people might be really scary. And so was that the case for you when you were going about this, or, you know, what was it like just really putting yourself out there for the world to kind of judge, essentially?
There's a lot to that. And honestly, it's probably a 2-hour long story. So I'm going to recap as fast as humanly possible. But when I fired all my clients and decided to start a blog, I was terrified to create content and write in my own voice. I spent 30 days writing 45 minutes a day, for no reason, with the promise to myself that no one would ever see it, regardless of how famous and rich and whatever I were ever to become, no matter what, no one was ever to see it. And so I had that sense of safety. I actually had a girl stay over one night during the 30 days, and she was asleep, and I woke up early and started writing, and I was like, I feel uncomfortable. She's facing the other direction and unconscious, and I felt constricted about writing. So I went across the room and sat in a chair, and I still felt constricted about writing, even though she's unconscious facing a wall and on the other side of the room. And I'm like, what? So, I mean, exploring those feelings helped me to kind of find that voice. So when I wrote the Facebook prank, it took me probably about 12 hours to write 2,200 words, which for me is lightning fast at the time. When I created new content, I used to read Ash Ambridge of the middlefingerproject.org, which I love her domain, and Steve Kam of Nerd Fitness, because they are unapologetically them. And I used to read their articles before writing my own to like get free of just kind of all the expectation of how you should sound. And I did this for, you know, 18 months. I create content every, I don't know, 45, 60 days. Because I invest a lot in my pieces. They're 2,000 to 5,000 words. There's a lot of data and references. Sometimes I'll tell a story that's over the course of 6 months. Sometimes it's a very quick thing. And so I kind of got to the point recently where I felt some tightness, like literally tightness in my chest, thinking about my email list. And it had popped up a few times. It's kind of like tightness of like, oh man, I really need to, if you're an entrepreneur, I really need to buy health insurance. And every time you're reminded of it, you're like, that's the thing I need to do. And I kept feeling this tightness around the list. And I kind of had this epiphany of like, I filter everybody around me, of people who support me and that I can support them. Those are my friends, the people who make me a better person. And if you're not one of those people, then I get you out of my life. And actually, I just asked a roommate who was here for 30 days. I said, you need to leave. It was just not a bad person, just a bad jive of energy. So with this experiment, which it literally was an experiment, I basically just had the realization that I have a list of a few thousand people. Many of them don't know how they got on the list because I've been terrible at contacting them on any consistent basis. And I'm afraid to email them because I think that they won't approve or they'll unsubscribe. And I'm like, I don't care if they unsubscribe. Like I have this asset, this like tangible business asset of an email list. And it's not doing me any good sitting there. And if I don't email it because I'm afraid that people will unsubscribe, it does me less good than if they did. And I knew that if I did it once a week, that I would polish it too much in my head. It would sound like weird. I've done that before. I've tried to do that. And really, it's just once it's in my head, it needs to get out. And if it waits to get out, it gets too kind of jumbled and processed. So I said every day. And I was like, that's probably going to piss some people off. And I'm like, great. If I don't piss people off, then I can't win people over. And I started doing it. The first email, the subject line was unsubscribe now. I made a very cheeky reference to dating, which if you subscribe, that's the first email that goes out and then you're kind of dumped into the feed. But yeah, I mean, it's just talking about whatever's on my mind because I realized that I had some conversations with people that they enjoyed and that they're like, oh, that's smart. And I'm like, I should probably like write it down, but I don't have the time. So I started doing it. I did a recap today. 52% of my time last week was spent in communication tools, so like email and MailChimp. But the brutal honesty and the just me for being me, and I also wrote about this as well, when you open up to someone else, you're trusting them. And when you trust them, they trust you. And so instead of having to break down a wall with people and say like, well, what are you doing? Tell me more about your business so that I can help you. You know, yes, you should buy my product. They just tell me. They tell me everything I need to know to package them, position them, and say, great, like, I totally get who you are as a person. I get your business. Let me, you know, read this, watch this, talk to this person, and come back to me in 6 months. Or someone else, I'm like, you would really fit in Ghost Influence, and this is what that would look like. And if it's right for you, I would really love to have you there. It's been crazy, but it really is just the next level of kind of, I'm going to be me, and you'll either love me or hate me. And I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. So what would you say to someone, you know, before we move into our rapid fire round, someone that is just starting out and that says, hey, you know, Brian, that's awesome. I get that, you know, that's great that that's working for you. But someone that, you know, is listening here, that's like, where do I even start in this process of unapologetically being myself or connecting to content that like people are already interested in? Like, where would you say someone should start?
A few truisms, mantras, whatever the hell you want to call them. The first is basically, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with, which I think is a Jim Rohn quote. And basically find people that you want to be like. And I'm not talking about like, you know, successful people that have money, but people you want to have their lifestyle. And the second piece of that is, if you buy someone's opinion, you buy their lifestyle. So if you're going to mimic someone and I had a conversation with someone about this the other day, is if you're going to mimic a YouTuber, a lot of people are like, oh, I want to be a famous YouTuber. Most of those people never talk to a famous YouTuber and say like, hey, how do you like your lifestyle? How much money do you make? Like, you know, are you like, or just get to know them, whatever it may be. I know so many YouTubers that have millions of followers and they struggle to pay rent. And if you want to get into that, great, but you should know before you do that. So find the people that you want to mimic, learn as much as you can about them from a business standpoint, as well as a personal standpoint, and then look at all of them and kind of mix and match and say, I love how this person does this, but I don't love how that person works 90 hours a week. You know, like, how can I do what I want to do, knowing now that I see what they're doing on the outside, I see what they're doing on the inside, interview them, start a podcast to interview people if need be. But essentially, I call it the Frankenstein model. You take a bunch of pieces, you figure out which pieces you want to take from other people, and you piece it together, which coincidentally also works when you're creating content or businesses. It's just, I mean, and I have many stories of how I use that same model to make something. The second piece to it would be do your research and understand that you're going to trip your way forward and kind of, you know, stumble forward. But when someone says, you know, like, oh, that's not going to work, you should do something different. If they're not in your group of people that you're trying to mimic, fuck them. Like, I mean, I had an investor once, talented investor, knows a lot of e-commerce stuff. And I launched this e-commerce business. So it was a drunken idea. The entire e-commerce business built on Shopify only had animated GIFs as products. It's called the giftshop.net, G-I-F shop.net. And I did a test kind of covertly, not under that brand. I made an album of GIFs and I put it on Reddit and it did really well. And my conversion rate to purchases was like 3.2%, which is insane. And I was like, well, all right, let's see what this looks like. So I spent 18 hours building it out. I spent like $500 with some dev stuff that I couldn't do. And I'm about done. And I started talking to this guy who I know, and he's a VC and he's successful. He has experience in e-commerce. So I valued his opinion. And he goes, without hesitation, he's like, that's not going to work. I'm like, why? He's like, how big are your pages? I'm like, they're 3 megs on average, and the catalog pages are like 60 megs. They're big. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's not going to work. And I'm like, I've tested it. Like, I have all these things in place to make it faster. And like, I understand that that's still massive for mobile. But like, I mean, 18 hours and $500, why not see if it works? And he's like, oh, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Launched it, and with $0 in marketing and 2 submissions to Reddit, 156,000 people loaded a 3 megabyte page in a day. And he was just like, ha, 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 ha. And so, you know, like, I appreciated his feedback, but at the same time, like, he didn't live the lifestyle that I wanted to live in a variety of ways. And so I just said, I appreciate it, noted, but I'm going to do it. And I think that that's just having, and but, you know, don't go all out and spend 3 years trying to figure out whether or not someone's advice to you was right or wrong. Figure out a way that you can test it. I mean, I would have known within, again, 18 hours and $500 and 72 hours after launch whether or not it's going to work. That's not a big loss if it was a complete failure.
Yeah, Absolutely. So, Brian, what lifestyle do you live and how much revenue do you make? I'm just kidding. We'll say that one for another time.
That is a different conversation that I'd love to have. Yeah. I live in a box.
Clearly in a black box with a shiny bright light and a microphone.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'll send you a picture of this afterwards.
Yeah.
Literally a box in the center and like in the side of my bedroom and the sound booth. Just ignore it.
Nice. And for those of you that are joining us on audio, you can go to the YouTube channel to see Brian in his black box. So awesome. Well, let's move into the rapid fire round. So we've got 6 questions for you. Rapid fire. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Question number 1. What was the biggest thing holding you back from going down the road less traveled?
It was unequivocally the fear of how others would perceive me. And I for years worked behind big brands running all their marketing solely because I was too afraid to get in front of the camera to write, to express my voice.
Awesome. Question number 2. What is the worst advice you ever received?
Oh God, all of it. All right. My best one, and I've this has driven me for many, many years. Right after I got out of college, I started doing social marketing, and I had a degree in graphic design. And I ended up sitting down with one of the heads of marketing for the college, and I was like, "Oh, cool! Like you do marketing, I do marketing now too. Like let's have coffee." Maybe 30 minutes into discussion, she said, and in this voice, at least in my head, "You can't do marketing. You don't have a degree in marketing. I have a doctorate in marketing." And I just kind of looked at her. I literally just paused and nodded and said, "Cool," and left. Awesome. She's still a teacher, and I am not.
Awesome. All right, question number 4. What is a personal habit that you do daily that you think contributes to your success?
Habits. I create habits. I create a new habit every 30 days and a new challenge. I try and do a new habit and a new challenge. So a habit could be flossing, which has perpetually been a challenge. Not meant to be the same. Or a new challenge. I just started doing traveling rings on the beach, which are like the Tarzani rings, and that like super cool to me. So I'm going to do that. I'm setting a commitment to do it on a regular basis and see if I get really good and start loving it, or if I tear my hands up and hate it. I think it'll be the former. But yeah, I mean, setting habits, little things, writing every day. Don't do big things, little things. Cleaning. I've a long list of things that have happened to me over the last 3 years that were just from little tiny changes for fixed committed amounts of time. I was waking up every day at 4:30 in the morning, and I did not continue to do that. But now my body just wakes me up at 6 every day, no matter what, no matter if I was up till 3 dancing, still up at 6.
Nice. Well, what is one tech tool that you cannot live without?
Slack.
Slack.
Wait, hold on. Slack. I have I think like 17 integrations and like have talked to the CEO, like it obsessed. Been in it since their private beta. It's how we manage my communities. Slack.
Awesome.
Slack is crack.
And Brian, how old are you?
I am 28.
28 years old, everyone. And what would you say to your 20-year-old self 8 years ago if you could have a conversation with him now? What would you say?
That's a hard one. I've actually thought about that. And it would probably be something to the regards of stop giving f***s where f***s are not warranted. Someone gave me a t-shirt one time. That's a story as well, but it was a cool, and it's been my phone background for ages, but it's a f*** apathy. So often people don't speak up or speak out because they're afraid what others will think of them. And that's just kind of always guided me as I just express myself. And again, you either love me or hate me, and either is equally wonderful. I've many people who just don't talk to me after they meet me the first time. And I'm like, awesome. You don't have to hate me and I don't have to be uncomfortable around you. Like, cool. Like, I am not changing for anyone. I might grow and develop off of the people that I meet, which is kind of the point, but I'm not changing unless I like something. Like, I see what you're doing. I really like that. I'm adopting that by choice, versus, just kind of going with the flow and letting other people guide you.
Yeah. Awesome. And lastly, what does living an unconventional life mean to you?
I think it means just challenging conceptions of how things are done, and constantly. I mean, I love paradoxes. I love doing things that I'm like, this shouldn't work, but let's do it anyway. Launching an e-commerce store that's way too big, you know, coming up with a drunken idea and selling it to a multi-billion dollar brand. One of my favorite examples is a family friend of a friend of mine. I found out he's a meat broker. He makes like a penny. He makes like a penny a pound brokering the sale of meat from an industrial farm to like Subway. Like, that's a job, and people will pay you for it. And I just kind of always love looking for those really weird things to kind of continually build my mindset of anything can happen. You can do whatever you want. You really can. And just looking for those opportunities, like, that's a thing. And then like, I wonder what else is a thing. And just constantly challenging that concept in your head.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. I know you've mentioned a lot of great things like the social Sherpa, which is moving over to Ghost Influence. But for our listeners that want to, one, learn how you make things go viral, two, learn about Reddit and the community, and three, just how to keep in touch with your awesome self, where do they go? How do they find you?
ghostinfluence.com, at ghostinfluence on Twitter, ghostinfluence on Facebook. It's funny enough, that's one of the few domains I don't remember buying, so there was some alcohol involved. But ghostinfluence is where it's at. I'm pretty easy to find and even easier to engage with.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brian, for being on Unconventional Life. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.